You're listening to a sermon of Meadowbrook Church in Ocala, Florida. For more media resources, visit us online at www.nbcocala.com.
We are on a teaching series entitled Holy Spirit, and I'm going to go ahead and pick up here in John chapter 14, John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17. Jesus is speaking. I'm quoting him. And he said, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you, say that's me, another helper, your Bible may say comforter, we'll come back to that in a moment, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be, and Jesus is talking about just a little time away from there, and he will be in you. And that's when salvation and baptism of the Holy Spirit would become available to us. He's saying that is coming. And so he is with you. How many of you are glad he's with you? And then at the point of salvation, he is in you. And then I believe that there are fillings of the Spirit. I do believe subsequent to salvation, and it's not my topic tonight, but I do believe that subsequent to salvation, there is a time, there's a place, it can be 5 minutes after salvation if you want it, honestly, where God fills you with His Spirit. And there's plenty of scripture on that. I know there's religious debate, denominational debate concerning that, and we'll come to that a little bit later. Here's the point. The Bible tells you to be filled with the Spirit. So whatever you want to call that, and however many times that needs to happen, because Ephesians 5:18, which we'll get to at the very end, tells you to keep being filled. So I guess the point would be filled with the Spirit. So he is with you. Everybody say with me. And he is in me. Amen. Now, verse 16 in the Amplified Bible reads this way. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter. And then as you see in parentheses here, let me do this. We were going to be real sly tonight and act like one of our projectors was not blown and that all three screens that you wouldn't notice that only one was down. We were going to be real sly about that. And then when I'm greeting people before service, people said, where's the other two screens? So we couldn't hide it from you, you know. So we had one of our projectors go down just before service. And so rather than slight you guys, because I love y'all, rather than slight y'all, because y'all, I think this would be the side that would be without, you know, and you'd be thinking we're favoring these people or something. So, but anyway, if you're going to see anything, it'll be up front. Or if you want, you can conveniently look in the back. But look this way, okay, because I might get offended if I'm like, what? All right. John 14, 16, Amplified. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you. He will give you another comforter. And look in parentheses here. Counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you forever. And to me, what this means is, and Jesus is speaking now, he's giving discourse shortly before final events happened, as far as, you know, his arrest, Last Supper and arrest and crucifixion and so forth. And so he's filling them in, and I'm about to go away. He says, it's actually better for you that I go away, because then the Holy Spirit will come. Now, this is very, very important teaching then. He's emphasizing something very important. I've put it to you this way before. If you're leaving your kids with a babysitter, usually some of the last instructions you give them are some of the most important things that you would say. Okay? And so he's about to leave, not saying the Holy Spirit's a babysitter. That's where this breaks down. But as you're leaving, some of the most important things that you would say at that point. So he's telling them about the Holy Spirit. So when he is saying that I will ask the Father and the Father will give you another helper, and I want to read these again, counselor, comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you forever. To me, what that really means is this: whatever he needs to be in order to help you, he is. Amen. Whatever he needs to be to help you, he is. So what do you need? Where do you need the help? Do you need comfort? Do you need strength? Do you need a guide? What do you need? I want you to know something. Whatever you need him to be, he is whatever you need him to be to help you. Can anybody testify to that, that he's been that for you? All right, very good. Now, I shared with you something last week, and I just want to emphasize this again. In John chapter 7, Jesus is again speaking about the Holy Spirit, and he said that when he comes, there will be rivers of living water that would flow out of your belly. Now, that's a little scary, isn't it? From the inside. And it says this he spoke of concerning the Holy Spirit. He was not yet given at that point. Okay. So again, Jesus is speaking pre the coming of the Holy Spirit. And we talked about that the Holy Spirit is likened unto a river. And I shared this analogy, and this has come up in my mind over and over again this week. And so I just wanted to repeat it to you again. If you go to Egypt, to Cairo, Egypt, it is a lush population center, huge agricultural center, business and economy center. I mean, it's incredibly full of life, bustling and lush. And then just to the west of it is the Sahara Desert. And it's almost like a line in the sand, so to speak. And it is just barren and dry and scorching hot. And the difference is, you ready for this? The difference is a river. The difference is a river. And in our lives sometimes, maybe not you, but maybe have you ever known anybody that you thought their life might be like a desert? Barren and scorching. Come on, how many of you sometimes you feel kind of parched? Come on. You feel kind of parched sometimes. Sometimes, how many of you feel like you're so parched you're crispy? Okay, dusty, you know. Hope the wind doesn't blow, I'll blow away with it, you know, that kind of thing. The difference, listen to me, the difference in what we need is a river that would bring that life-giving flow into our lives. And so this is a picture, again, of the Holy Spirit and what he would do in our life. Now, notice that Jesus said, I will pray the Father and he will give you another. Everybody say another. Another helper. That word in the Greek actually means this. One just like me. Just one just like me. So you've got to understand this. That when the Holy Spirit came, he was just like Jesus. Except Jesus was in the flesh. And now the Holy Spirit is spirit. But he wants to take up residence within us. And what Jesus, Old Testament, the presence of God was contained always in tabernacles, in buildings, temples, if you will. And what Jesus came was to make us temples. Amen. So that we could be the temple, a living temple for the Holy Spirit to live in us. Are y'all getting this tonight? It's a living relationship. So he said, if I go away, the one who's going to come, this is actually better for you. Because I can only be at one place at one time. But he's just like me. And this is the way some of the references bring this out. He will do in my absence what I would do for you if I were physically present with you. So how many of you are afraid of Jesus? Okay. Then you shouldn't be afraid of the Holy Spirit. He's just like Jesus. Y'all hear me? He's just like Jesus. Another comforter, one just like me. That's the person. That's the nature, the character, the intent of the Holy Spirit as he comes. Now, I've shared with you this amazing revelation that there are 168 hours in your week. And we've got to make good use of that time. Amen? And you do not spend 168 hours a week in church. You spend 2, maybe 3 hours a week in church. And what we've got to know is, and this is what I want to emphasize to you, if he's with you and he never leaves you, never forsakes you, then he's with you all 168 hours. And I keep repeating this because we've got to break the mindset. Some people think this is the house of God. Listen, you are the house of God. And this is where the church corporately together, we assemble. And this place is holy in that it's set apart for God and for his purposes. But he dwells in you, with you. He's with you. Amen. When you get in the car, he's with you. He's with you, and he's in you. And his main ministry, this is the point I want to make, his main ministry in the first part of this whole series, I'm going to be majoring on what he does in your life for that 168 hours, because that's the most important thing. You get all of that rolling in your life, coming together is going to be an easy thing. So what does he do? His main ministry is personal. It's inward. It's intimate. It's to you. That's the main thing. And as we read scripture, we're going to find that most of what he does on the inside of you. So we've looked at these already, and I'll just touch these real quick. One thing he does is he comforts us. We covered this a few weeks ago. He also guides us. He also convicts us. How many of you are glad that he comforts you?
Yes.
How many of you are also glad that he convicts you?
Yes.
Yeah, you know what that conviction is? It's like on your dashboard, warning lights or something, you know, to let you know. So, well, it doesn't do that, but, you know, to let you know, it's indicators. We want him to convict us.
Amen.
Come on. And then the last 2 weeks we've spent on, he helps us to pray. How many of you would admit I need help praying? And I really recommend you go back and listen to the messages of the last 2 weeks. But you need to understand, this is one of the things the Holy Spirit does for us, is he helps us to pray. And one of the things that he does is he gifts us with a prayer language, a spiritual language that helps us to pray when we don't know what to pray. And let me just give you the short on it real quick. It's this. It's my spirit, your spirit, by the Holy Spirit that's in you, working together in prayer. And the Holy Spirit knows the perfect will of God, and he's helping you to pray. So I say, sign me up for him to help. And let me just point this out real quick. Although there's some controversy, some confusion in different camps and denominations concerning that, our goal is just a truth quest to find out what the Bible says. And that's what we've been going with. And awesome results on that. Amen. Let me move on, and we're going to cover two other things, hopefully, tonight. Part of his main daily personal ministry, what he does. Y'all perk up just a little bit tonight. Okay. All right. I'm just glad you're here, but I'd really like you to be here, too, while you're here. Okay. He produces unity. He produces unity. Now, this is also called harmony and oneness. Let's read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. Paul is giving instruction. He says, endeavoring, and this instruction, let me point this out to you, this instruction is to you. This is to New Testament believers. He's giving instruction. Should we pay attention to it?
Amen.
All right. He says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. Notice that. Unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That word bond there is actually a body term. It means a band, a joint tie, a ligament. It's what holds the body together. How many of you want to give up your ligaments? Nobody. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. In the Amplified Bible, it reads this way. Be eager. Everybody say, be eager.
Be eager.
And strive earnestly to guard and keep the harmony and oneness of and produced by. Notice the wording here. The harmony and oneness of and produced by the Spirit in the binding power of peace. So there is a harmony. There is a oneness. This actually has to do with harmony within community. You should have harmony within community in your home. I have a little sign up in my study at home. It says, peace on earth begins with peace at home. And there's not peace at home till there's peace inside. But there is a peace that God brings. And this is a harmony and a oneness. And get this, of and produced by the Spirit. So this is a work of the Spirit. There's so many efforts of man made that we're going to join hands. We're going to accept everybody. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Man does a lot of things like that. And I think it's commendable. But the unity and the oneness and the harmony that will really last in a home, in a neighborhood. Do you pray over your neighborhood?
Yes.
You should.
Yes.
There's one road leading into my neighborhood, and virtually every time I pull in the neighborhood, I'm speaking peace over my neighborhood. How many of you want peace in your neighborhood?
Yes.
I want peace. I don't want people shooting each other. I don't want people stealing each other's stuff. I don't want people from outside the neighborhood coming in to take stuff from inside outside. Y'all with me? I don't want all that going on. And we have plenty of promises that let us know that we can have peaceful dwellings. Okay? And so this is an actual work of the Holy Spirit. How many of you would like peace in our community?
Yes.
How about peace that's the binding power. Harmony and oneness in your neighborhood, in your community. How many of you know that it is the will of God that there be harmony and unity and oneness in the church? Let me try to. It was not a trick question. How many of you know that also there should be harmony, unity, and oneness in the church? And that's a work of the Holy Spirit. Now listen, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. In Psalm 133, let me read it for you. It's just three quick verses here. It says, behold. Do you know what behold is? It's like a blast of the trumpet. It's to get your attention. Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren. Say that's us. And to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garment. How many of you believe that the body, the church, should be anointed?
Amen.
Do you know what the anointing is? It's the power of God. It's the power of God. It says, it is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, which means this, it's refreshing. It's powerful. It's refreshing. And it says, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. And so we see this as an important thing. Now, back in Ephesians chapter 4, it says that we are to guard and keep. We are to endeavoring to keep. It's to protect and preserve the unity. Now, church, listen to me. This is an important thing. It is your duty to protect and preserve the unity of your family. It is your duty to protect and preserve the unity as much as you can. The Bible says as far as is possible with you and everything you're involved in. And then as a part of this agency of the kingdom of God, listen to me, look at me. It is your duty to protect and preserve the unity of the church.
Amen.
It is your duty to protect and preserve the unity of the body and of the church. Amen. Now, I'm going to give you some strong words here. It is imperative in the Greek. It's an imperative command. It's a charge. It's like there's no option. You are to do this. It is strong, strong, strong terms that come across to us. Anything imperative like this, it is a big deal. You do not work against unity. Proverbs 14 talks about that you're foolish if you tear down your own home. You're foolish to tear down your own home. I mean, you know, some people tear down the peace and the unity of their own home. I'm going to tell you something. It's foolish. And then any other thing that you're a part of, you are wrong to pull that down in any degree. And so in the same way, and even more so, God is very guarded concerning the brethren, concerning the church. And he says here that you are to eagerly guard, earnestly guard. It's an imperative command and charge that you do that. So let me put it this way. Do not, and I have in my notes, all capital N-O-T, do not work against unity ever.
Amen.
Or let me tell you what you're doing. You're working against the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit, if you walked into a room and the Holy Spirit was in bodily form and he was building something, would you have the audacity to go over and take it apart? That's what this would be like. What if you walked in and someone you knew and loved was building a house of cards or something? And they'd been, or stacking dominoes or something. And then you went in and thought you were so funny. And blow them over. How many of you know they would not be pleased with you? Because they've been working so hard to build something. What if you were building something and in the night somebody came and started to take it apart or take away parts of it? How many of you know you might get a little upset? Well, in the same way, God is very, very strong. The wording is very, very strong here. Do not work against unity ever, because if you do, you're working against the Spirit. You're literally tearing down what he's trying to build. And you never are to involve yourself with that. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
All right. And here's a couple of ways. How would that happen? Gossip. Complaining. Sowing discord. Being selfish. There's a bunch of ways. I just wanted to throw out a few ways. We have a little saying in our home. We've employed it in the academy. You build up or you hush up. Let's practice it one time. Build up or hush up. Let's try it one more time. Build up or hush up. Because of the importance of this, especially to the Lord and the end result that it would have for you. In Proverbs 6, verse 6, 16 through 19. Now watch this carefully. These six things the Lord hates. Ugh. Yes, seven, or literally, and the seventh is a doozy. Well, it doesn't say that, but yes, seven are an abomination to him. Everybody say abomination. Do you know what abomination literally means here in the Hebrew? It means disgusting. Disgusting. Repulsive. So he said there's six things that the Lord hates. We're going to read them here. You would do well to avoid all these. Come on. With my wife, I know there's some things she does not like. So you know what? I'm not going to do that. Like I would probably not bring a snake or a pig into the house. You know? There's all kinds of things about the people that we know and we love. Things they hate, things they don't like, and things that would throw them over the edge. And if the word is clear that God hates some things and the seventh one is disgusting, repulsive to him, we'd better pay attention. Here they are. A proud look. A proud look. I want to teach generations, especially of men, that cocky and proud, whatever the culture is trying to tell us how we're to dress and act and look and all of that, let me tell you, God doesn't like it. God doesn't like it. God likes kindness. Kindness is attractive. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and ladies and gentlemen, number seven, one who sows discord among who? Brethren. The word discord is strife or contention, any kind of split. Any kind of pulling away, that is a very, very dangerous thing. And here's the thing. If we go back to verse 14 in Proverbs 6, it says this. Perversity is in his heart. He devises evil continually. He sows discord. So listen to me. If you ever know or see a person who sows discord, let me tell you their heart condition. You always have to look at the heart condition. They have perverseness in their heart. They have perverseness in their heart. It's a virus. It's not healthy. And that would cause something to come out. But what does the Holy Spirit do? He produces. What does that mean? He makes it. He makes it. Did you know that God... Look around. Look, just look around you a little bit. Just honestly, please, turn your head. Look around. I mean, we're sitting together in peace. We're sitting next to people. Some of you have your purse right by some folks. You never met them in your life. How careless of you. No, I'm teasing. Some of you just found they're in your purse. Get out of my... No. No, isn't it a beautiful thing, the body of Christ? Isn't a family a beautiful thing? It was last night or the night before, our living room was full of my family, and I think we had two extras there. And just the peace and the comfort that was there blessed me. I thought, how awesome that is. Did you know it blesses God when you come together and you greet one another? And you love one another and maybe have a little bit of interaction. You go, you know what? I'll be praying for you about that. And the next week you say, how'd that go? And you're happy to see each other. I don't know about you, but I get charged a little bit when I get to see you and talk to you. Some people had said, Pastor, you're with the people a lot. You know, you should stay away. I'm a shepherd should smell like sheep. So... right? Because I'm a sheep too. So I come out before service because I want to be with you. I go to the door after service because I want to be with you. You know, and there's no way. And we tried to figure this out a few years ago, Pastor Mike and I, because everybody wants to have a dinner with me. I would be 417 pounds. And we figured it out by the number of meals within a year. And the number of people in the church, and there's just no way to do it. You understand? How long would it? It would take 16 and a half years to get dinner with everybody. That's with one a week. So if I really stepped it up, I wouldn't have my family anymore. And I'd still weigh going on 500 pounds. You know, my point is this. There's a love. There's a unity. How does that happen? The Holy Spirit does that. The Holy Spirit does that. And listen to me. Husbands and wives, parents and children, brothers and sisters, friends, neighbors, brethren, or let me include everybody, cistern. All of us. Let me tell you something. There's something precious. Please hear me on this. Something very, very precious that God is very protective of. And then it's that you and I and you and them and you and them and you and them are in unity together. And you know what? He gives it to you. It's not something we got to fake and we got to muster up. He gives it to you. It's of and produced by the Holy Spirit. And he said, don't you mess with it and don't tear down what I'm trying to build. Now, also in Ephesians, where this is coming from, let me just share this with you real quick. He said, bear with one another, making allowances for one another. Because guess what? Everybody's got faults. How many of you would admit I got three of them at least? Okay. We've all got faults. Aren't you glad that somebody bears with you? That they're patient with you. And you know what? We're to bear with one another. How many of you have ever had a bad day before? Or let me take it off here. I've known someone that had a bad day. And you see them sometimes, you go, man, they're just not themselves. You know what? Give them some space. Pull for them. There's this quote, and I think I'm going to mess it up. It says, be kind to everybody you meet because you don't know the tough battle that they're facing. And there's a wonderful unity. Get this now. And I'm going to have to wrap it up here in just a moment. There's a wonderful unity of and produced by the Holy Spirit for your homes, for the things that you're a part of. And this is very precious to him. I brought out that word brethren a couple times. And for the church. The Bible tells us that how will the world ever believe, John chapter 17, how will the world ever believe that God actually sent Jesus if we can't just stay in love with one another? Let's commit that we will not work against the Holy Spirit. We'll not work against each other. You know what? If you knew the story on everybody that just was on your row, you'd be like, oh. Because, you know, everybody's got a story. And everybody's been through some stuff. My goodness, some of the stories that I know, I'm looking out and seeing some faces and people and situations that I know of. It would just break your heart what some people have been through. So why don't you be part of helping everybody around you to be strong and to enjoy the peace, the unity, the harmony, the oneness of and produced. This is one of the major works of the Holy Spirit, of and produced by the Holy Spirit. Anybody commit yourself to that with me as well? All right. Thank you, Lord. Let me just finish up here. In Luke chapter 24, verse 49, in the New Living Translation, Jesus said, "Now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes." Now, let me say this. You don't have to stay in the city. And literally, you don't have to go to Jerusalem. He was talking about there's going to be an event where the Holy Spirit will come into the earth. Again, he's talking ahead of this. And please hear this. I've said this in the last couple of weeks. I don't know if you caught it or not. Pentecost does not need to be duplicated. It just has to be appropriated. You don't have to set up some situation and, you know, we've got to redo Pentecost. No, the Holy Spirit came. He's in the earth. He's in believers. He's here to do incredible things. And so we don't have to wait. And we don't have to wait in the city. Let me finish the verse here. Stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes. Here's the part I wanted to get to. And fills you with power from heaven. Notice this. Fills you with power from heaven. Everybody say power from heaven. Is there anybody here that wouldn't want power from heaven? I tricked some of you. How many of you here would want power from heaven? Back up the truck and dump it on me. The word filled there and in the Greek is pleroma, and it means this. The word picture is this. It's like a ship that has a full cargo and a full crew. Full. That he would fill us with power from heaven. I don't know about you. I need all the help and power I can get. And especially know that it comes from heaven, from God, into our lives. Listen, we're not alone and we're not without help. And there is power to live this life. I'll get into it a little bit more next week. There's power to overcome temptation. There's power to overcome depression. There's power all over the place that God would give us to live this life and to live it on a different level than the people who do not live in the kingdom of God. Amen. Acts chapter 6, verse 3, they were talking about that we need some men to help out. And it says, men of good reputation, and get this, and full of the Holy Spirit. So if they're saying we need some guys like this, then don't you know that if it's possible for people to be of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, it's also possible for some people to not have a good reputation and not be full and not be wise. And so here's the thing. We have this option to be full. And to receive power from heaven, help from heaven, day in and day out. And let me go back to the original promise. And he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Amen. Amen.